The reading for this resurrection morning is 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. The first letter of Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer griefs in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Right, now you'll have noticed that I've got some things here at on this table. Anyone already had an Easter egg this morning? Go on, you admit it. Oh yeah, well, you had one already, have you, Ruth? Yeah? Have you eaten it? No, not yet. Has anyone eaten one this morning? No one's eaten? Oh, you've all been good. Holly, you've had one, have you? Yeah? You haven't? You haven't eaten it? You've had a little cream egg? Yeah. All right. Oh, well, that's okay. For breakfast?
Yes.
Cream egg for breakfast? Anyone fancy that? Oh. Well, I don't know what your favourite Easter egg is. I bought a few of my favourites. I must confess, Cadbury's cream egg is my favourite. We're going to have a bit of a good time and some fun opening these and hopefully finding out what's inside them. And as we do that, we're going to be learning a bit about Easter and what's at the very heart of Easter, thinking about that first Easter, the real Easter, and we call this Easter in an eggshell. Okay, so I just need a volunteer to come and open the first Easter egg, please. Come on, don't be shy, come on. Someone just come and open the Easter egg for me. Anyone come in? You can bring your mum and dad with you if you want. Okay, Jack, so yeah, just give that a, you know. Come on, so we've got B and Olivia. Okay, B and Olivia, do you want to open that for us, please? Just open it. You don't have to stand on ceremony. Come on, just open it up, you know, tear it apart. See what's in there. Do you want to put it on the table and open it up? Okay, and then there's a nice chocolate egg there, isn't there? And then you get it open and see what's inside. Oh, what's inside? What is it? Shall I put it there? It's not a Cadbury's cream egg, as it says is inside. There's a crown. A crown. That's a bit of a surprise, isn't it? You normally get one of those in a... What do you normally get one of these in? A cracker. A cracker at Christmas. Not in an Easter egg. So why have we got a crown? Okay, well, you can go and sit down now. Thank you. There you go. There you go. You can take that with you as well. There you go. You get the Easter egg, well done. So you got a crown, right. You can come back up in a minute. So you're next. You're next, that's fine. So we've got our second volunteer coming up in a second, right? So, crown. Why am I wearing this crown? Well, the very first Easter, the week began with a big celebration. And it began with Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Do you remember? We call it Palm Sunday. And for 3 years, Jesus had been traveling around, performing many, many miracles, proving that he was who he claimed to be, that he was the Son of God, God's chosen king. And the crowds on that Sunday welcomed him as king. And they went wild when Jesus arrived, and they were waving palm branches, and they were taking off their cloaks and their coats, and they were putting them on the floor for him to walk along as he rode on that donkey as a kind of a royal carpet, putting out the red carpet, giving him the royal treatment, and they shouted something. What did they shout? Well, let's find out. So during this talk, I'm wanting you to read some Bible verses out for me. Simon's going to come with the roving mic, which is there. And I'm going to read out the references. And if you find the reference first, you just put your hand up and you can read it. And there is a reward, okay, if you're willing to read it. Okay, so there you go. So, first reference, if you could look up Matthew chapter 21, verse 9, please. Someone being willing to read it, put your hand up. Simon will come with the microphone. Matthew 21, verse 9. Okay, we've got someone here already. Okay, but look it up. Let's listen to as Kathy reads it.
And the crowd. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest."
Thank you. Hosanna. So you get a bag of sweets there, Kathy. Thank you. Yeah. Save until later. No rustling. No rustling. Okay. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna. That's what they shouted. Hosanna means save. And Son of David, that's the long-promised king. The king promised that God promised would come to save his people. Promised hundreds and hundreds of years earlier. Big promise to King David. One of your sons will be the promised Messiah, the rescuer of the world. And so they're shouting, "Save, King, save." They're saying Jesus is the King, and he's come to save, and they're right. But as events unfold, we see that their expectations of Jesus were wrong. They thought that he's come as King to save them from the Romans, from their political enemies. But Jesus had come to save them and us from a much greater enemy than the Romans. He'd come to save us from sin. And our sin is rebellion against God. Sin is living as if we're in charge. God is the King. Jesus is the Christ. He's the King. But we live as if we are. We put ourselves at the center of life and say, it's all about me. And we love ourselves and other created things more than God. And we've all done that. We've all lived and pretended as if we're king when God is. And that's a very, 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 very serious thing. And we see it in so many ways. Just one simple little way is how we get more excited about eating Easter eggs than we do about Jesus. Or this time of year we get more excited about having a bit of time off work than we do about Jesus. That's just a little symptom, a little example of wanting to live for ourselves rather than him, and loving other things more than God. Well, Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the King, to save us, to provide a way for us to be saved from God's anger and God's just punishment against that rebellion, against that sin. He is the King who saves. Right, that was the first egg. Next egg. Yes, 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 yes. Come on. Do you want to open that one? Remind me of your name again. Amdins. So you open that one. This is a mini eggs one, isn't it? Yeah, so you open that one. What's inside? Oh, well, it's not mini eggs. It's a piece of paper. And we'll open that up. I don't know if you can see that at the back. Can you see that? What's that? Do you know? It's blueprint. It's a blueprint. Yeah, thank you. You can take that as well. Yeah, okay. I want all this chocolate out of the way. It's not good for my figure, so you can take it away and eat it. But it's a blueprint. It's a plan. It's a design of something. And the first Easter was planned. Jesus' death was not a mistake. It wasn't a horrible accident. It was designed. It was part of God's rescue plan for us. And we see this all through the Easter story. And I'm going to give you some examples. So if someone could read, Bible's ready, Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5, please. So if you've got them open, you don't have to go very far. So hands up, yep, over there in the middle. Wait, hang on a second, you've got to use the mic. So Simon will come along with the microphone, and you'll read that out, Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5.
This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey."
Thank you. Brilliant. Thank you. So when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, Not only did he know where the donkey would be, we see that just in the bit before then, but actually by riding on the donkey, see, Jesus was keeping a promise that God had made hundreds of years before. It's no accident. It's designed. It's a plan. And then there was the amazing conversation that Jesus had with his friends at the Passover meal a few days later. So imagine that you're sat round the tea table with your family or your friends, and all of a sudden, instead of someone asking to pass the salt and vinegar, or grumbling that it's shepherd's pie again, which sometimes happens in our house, instead of saying something like that, they say, "I'm about to die, and you've got to do certain things to remember my death." That would be pretty shocking, wouldn't it? Well, that's exactly what Jesus did. He told his friends that one of them was going to let him down, betray him, and he's going to die. So let's read Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 and 27. 26 and 27. Matthew 26, 26 and 27. I think there's a hand right at the back there, Simon. Yeah. So if you could read that, Matthew 26, 26 and 27.
Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it from all of you."
Thank you. And the one before that as well, the 26.
While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when they had given thanks, he broke it and gave his disciples, saying, "Take it and eat it. This is my body."
Thank you very much. Those are the words we're going to hear a bit later on together as we share the Lord's Supper together. But there Jesus is saying very, very clearly, "I'm going to die. I'm going to die for you. It's going to make all the difference, the death that I die." And he's just telling them that he's in control. That's exactly what happened. His death wasn't an accident. He knew that it's going to happen because it's been planned since before the beginning of time. And we need to remember that. It's not a tragic accident. It's a planned death designed by God before he created the world. And that tells us something about God, doesn't it? It tells us how wise he is and how big he is, how powerful he is. That's how big and wonderful and wise and powerful God is. Planned this before the world began, and Jesus is right in control as he prepares for his death. Right, egg number three. Another Cadbury's one. Yes, over there, thank you. Out we come. Yeah, good lad. Thank you. What's your name?
Jasper.
Jasper, great. Do you want to open that, Jasper, please? We'll see what's inside there. Do you think there's going to be some... it's meant to be chocolate buttons. Do you think there'll be chocolate buttons in there? No. What about in the egg? Oh, open it. What's in there? There's no chocolate buttons. It's another piece of paper, but what's on the piece of paper? Oh, that's a sad face. Okay, thanks, Jasper. You can take the egg. Thank you. A sad face. Why a sad face? Well, after the meal, Jesus went with his disciples to a garden. The garden was called Gethsemane. And he told them to sit while he prayed. And he took three of them with him. And we're told that he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them this. Matthew 26, verse 38. Matthew 26, verse 38. Who's going to read that for us? Yep. Thank you. What did Jesus say?
Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me."
Thank you. My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Why was Jesus so sad? Why was Jesus so sad? Well, we get the answer in the prayer that he prayed. And the prayer he prayed is verse 39. Who would like to read that one for us, please? What, right at the back, Simon. You're going to have to run. It's Hannah, right at the back. Go on. Wait for the microphone and read verse 39. Why is Jesus so sad?
Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.
You see, he's sad because of a cup. A cup that he has to drink. A cup that he must drink. A cup that God wants him to drink. A cup that his Father God wants him to drink. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told what this cup is. And the cup is God's wrath. It's the cup of God's anger, God's just and terrifying anger against human sin, against our rebellion, against us pretending to be king. And Jesus is sad, he's overwhelmed with sorrow because he's facing God's punishment for sin. That's what he's going to do as he goes to the cross. That's how he's going to save his people, by taking their son and God's anger against that sin. He knows that that is going to mean being cut off from his Father for the first time in all eternity. He knows that that's what it means. So no wonder he is overwhelmed with sorrow. Well, after praying, if you have a look, he goes back to his friends and he finds his disciples asleep. Sees how weak they are. They haven't been able to do what he asked them to do. They're helpless. And what does he say? He goes back and prays again. Could someone read verse 42? Who's going to read verse 42 for us? Who can read verse 42? Oh, right, the back again, Simon. You may have to stay at the back. Okay, thanks, Anna Marie. When the microphone comes, what does Jesus say? Verse 42.
He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done."
Do you see what he's saying there? He's saying that the only way for human beings, sinful human beings, us, not to face God's wrath, the cup of God's wrath, which is what we deserve, the only way that that's possible is if Jesus drinks it. It's the only way. And so, he agrees to go to the cross because he knows that it's his Father's will and he knows it's the only way that sinful people like us can be saved. And Jesus loves us so much. He wants to save us. The only way that we could be spared from God's wrath if it's, he takes it in our place. It is a necessary death. It's a planned death. It's a necessary death. It's a loving death. And then just as he said, he was arrested and he was let down by a couple of his best friends in the process. Remember, Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. And even though he'd never ever done anything wrong, Jesus was beaten. He was picked on. He was mocked, and he was sentenced to death by the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. And he was sentenced to death in the place of a criminal, a murderer, a rebel called Barabbas. Barabbas was guilty, but he went free. Jesus, the Son of God, was innocent, and yet he was condemned. And that is sad, isn't it? But here's the thing. Jesus wasn't just dying in Barabbas' place. He was dying in our place. He was dying in your place. He was dying in my place. It's all part of God's plan. And that's why we don't call the day on which Jesus died Bad Friday. And we don't call it Sad Friday. We call it Good Friday. Good Friday. Good for us if we trust in Jesus, because that's where Jesus rescues us. Right, we're getting down here. One more egg to open. Well, no, there's three more, but what next one? Yes, over here. Phoebe. You come out? There you go. You're all very... I just love the way that everyone's very delicate in opening these eggs. What's in there? We'll pull it out. All right, there is an egg. There's something in there as well. Is it? It's a Kit Kat. It's an empty Kit Kat wrapper. Oh dear. Is there anything in the egg? Open the egg. Maybe there's something in the egg. Is there? Empty. Nothing in the egg. You can take it. But there's the empty wrapper. You know what happened there? I ate it. I ate it. I ate it yesterday. You know what's happened to that Kit Kat? That chocolate bar, it's gone. It's finished. It's finished. Let's go to another gospel. Let's read together John 19, verse 30. John 19, verse 30. Who's, yep, here we go, down here, well done, thank you.
When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Jesus' final words as he dies on the cross, "It is finished." Why did he shout that? Not because his pain was over, not because the plan had failed. No, he said finished because his job of saving sinful people was finished. He did it. The obedience of Jesus was completed to the fullest measure. The price of forgiveness was fully paid. Judgment done. Divine wrath, God's anger against our sin, fully satisfied. Satan fully defeated. Death fully conquered. Finished. Finished. Brilliant news, isn't it? Which explains what happened next. This is a powerful death. This is a successful death. And we know because egg number five. Egg number five, yes. It's a Rolo egg. Come on, Martins. You open that one. Well, yeah. So there's meant to be some. It says find the Rolos, chocolates inside. So let's have a look. Let's find them inside. Whoa. Nothing. Empty. You take that empty egg back there. Okay, it's yours.
Wait, can I take the box?
You can take the box as well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and if anyone else wants the boxes, you can come back and get them later on. Yeah, good lad. Well done. Yeah. It's empty. Just like the tomb that they laid Jesus' body in. So let's have a look. Let's have a look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, first person to read, verses 1 to 3, please. Down over here. Thank you, Holly. So Holly's going to read Luke 24, verses 1 to 3.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Holly. They went to the tomb, expecting to find the body. Stone was rolled away. They go in, no body, empty tomb. An empty Rolo egg is bad news. That's not good news, is it? The empty tomb is good news. It's good news that tomb was empty because that is evidence that Jesus was physically alive. And later, as we read on, his friends saw him in all sorts of places. They saw him in a house, along a road, on a beach, and they ate with him, and they talked with him, and they touched him. But for now, the proof was the empty tomb. Jesus had risen. And that's what the angel said. If you just look to verses 4 to 7, the angel said to the women, "What are you doing here? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's alive. He's risen. Remember his words that he spoke to you. The Son of Man must be handed over to his enemies and crucified, and on the third day be raised to life." Again, it's planned. Jesus had said that before it all happened. And here it has happened. And the tomb is empty. Proof that Jesus is alive. Proof that he is the King. Proof that he is in charge of all things. That's what the resurrection tells us. That Jesus is Lord. Proof that he is the judge of everyone. Let's read one more. One more verse. And we're not in the Gospels now, we're in Acts. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Acts 17, verse 31. Who would like to read that? Someone else? Yeah, there is, I think, someone back there. Acts 17, verse 31.
"For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead."
Thank you. You see that? The resurrection tells us that judgment day is coming. God has set a day when he's going to judge the world with justice. Wow, that's good news, isn't it? "By the man he has appointed." Who's the man? Well, he's given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. The resurrection tells us that judgment day is coming and that Jesus is the judge. And on that day, every grave in the whole wide world will empty. And every person who's ever lived will stand before the judge, Jesus, and be judged. Which, that sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? The good news of Easter, the good news of the empty tomb, the good news of the risen Lord Jesus tells us that we can be ready to face the judge. We can be ready for that day. His work on the cross was successful. the plan worked out. That means we can be forgiven for our sin, our rebellion. We can be right with God if we turn away from that rebellion and put our trust in the Savior, the King, the Lord, Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our final egg. Leona, you had your hand up. Do you want to come and open this final egg for me? Yeah, you come in. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Smarty one. Give it a good open. Let's see what's in there, shall we? You're all very... Should I show you how I open Easter eggs? Do you want to know how I... I just kind of go like that, and then I get them like that, and then I go, ah, like that, smash. Oh, look, what's in there? The Smarties. The Smarties in there. It says there were Smarties in. Well, you weren't expecting that, were you? You were expecting an empty egg, weren't you? Yeah? Is there anything else in there? Let's have a look. Anything other than Smarties in there? Do you want to have a look? Ooh. There is. Looks a bit like something wrapped up in foil. Undo it. Let's see what's in there. So you've got Smarties, you've got chocolate, you've got a little silver thing, which should turn out to be a gold thing, which is... It's the new pound coin. There's a pound coin in there. So that's even better than you expected, isn't it? You weren't even expecting Smarties. We've got Smarties, but even something better. Well, there you go. There you go. You can take the Smarties as well. Do you want the box? Come back later and get your Smarties. Okay, you can go sit down. Better than expected. On that Sunday morning, Jesus' disciples, they were expecting to find a dead body. But instead, they found something much, much better. They found that Jesus was alive. And we can have a similar experience to them because God offers us something much more wonderful than we can ever imagine. Something that we don't deserve. He offers us forgiveness instead of condemnation. What a God. He offers us eternal life with him in his perfect kingdom, his perfect paradise, the new creation. He offers us a place in that perfect kingdom forever instead of eternal death without him in his just dungeon, which Jesus says is hell. And he offers us that as a gift. All because of the perfect work of Jesus on the cross. And that's Easter in an eggshell. And the question is, we've got to respond to this. It's not just news, it's news that needs to be responded to. He offers us life instead of death. Life with him instead of life apart from him. What are we going to do? If you're here and you haven't yet accepted that offer, will you accept that offer today? Will you say sorry for rebelling against God? Will you say, I'm sorry for loving other things more than you? Will you thank Jesus for dying in your place? Will you turn to him? Will you put your trust, your confidence in him? Will you listen to him? Will you put him first in your life? Will you give him your love? And will you give him your praise? If you haven't yet done that, will you do that? Will you do that today? That's what he wants you to do. I can't think of a better day to do that, can you? Better day than to become a Christian than today. And I'm not talking about Easter Day. I'm talking about it's today. Today. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Not tomorrow, today. Tomorrow might not come for some of us. Might not come for any of us if Jesus returns. Today is the day of salvation. Now, if you've already done that, if you've already put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then today is a day to praise him. And that's what we're going to continue to do as we meet together, to praise him. We can take Easter for granted, can't we? But have you seen, as we've gone through the Bible, do you see how awesome God is? Do you see how awesome Jesus is? Do you see what a wonderful thing God has done for us in the perfect work of Jesus? What a God he is. He's a God who is holy and just and good and full of wrath and full of mercy. What a God. A God who is sovereign, a God who is powerful, a God who is tender, a God who is true. A God who's compassionate. A God whose love is lavish and absolutely free. Surely he is a God worthy of our wonder, worthy of our fear, our respect, our awe. A God worthy of our praise a God worthy of our worship. And then that's what we give him. Our Bible reading said this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise be to God. And that's the right response. And Peter goes on to say, your whole life is to be one of praise, declaring the wonders of God, the praises of God to the world out there, with your lips and with your lives. That's the right response. Let me tell you, as we finish, about William Sangster. He was a Methodist minister in the last century. One day he felt a tightness in his throat. Didn't go away, so he went to the doctor. And it wasn't good news. He was diagnosed with a progressive muscle-wasting disease. He responded by throwing himself into his work, telling people about Jesus. He says, I'm going to do all I can for Jesus while I have the faculties to do it. And he did. But eventually his voice did fail. And then one Easter morning, shortly before he died, he wrote a letter to his daughter, and this is what he wrote. He said, how terrible it is to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout, he is risen. But it would be still more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout. How terrible to have a voice and not want to shout praise and honor and glory and power to King Jesus. How terrible to have a life and not want to live it to the glory and honor of King Jesus. You got a voice? Shout out the praise of King Jesus. You got a life? Live it for the praise and the glory of King Jesus. Amen.